Echoes, the Backwards Series, Season 4, Episode 2, From Australia with Love, by Guinevere Eckert. A flash of light appeared in the sky over the luscious outback of Australia, the Milky Way's leading penal colony, and Class 0.3 restricted zone, meaning you don't just come and go. Of the last three time-steppers to step there, two were executed for violation of galactic law. The third was invited to stay. Which is why when Fertress Fuzzbottom realized exactly where the formerly female Jill Slaughter had stepped them to, he was more than slightly nervous.
Okay, Fertress. We have exactly 3 hours to find the fur of the blue kangaroo and mix it with the unicorn saliva and get out of here.
Wait, you said the.
Yeah, sure. And?
You said the blue kangaroo, not a blue kangaroo.
Right.
I don't mean to question the almighty power of your ginormous brain, but do you know how many kangaroos are in Australia?
Given the year, I'd say approximately 7,923,004, give or take.
And there's only one blue one?
Yes.
Are you crazy or something?
It's inherently possible. More to the point, though, I've been in touch with a guy who knows a guy who knows a kangisu.
Kangaroo!
No, dumb butt. It's her name. Anyways, she's the guardian of a baby blue kangaroo, and she resides somewhere in the Great Sandy Desert.
Are you kidding me? The Great Sandy Desert?
Look, that's what it's called. You're wasting our time.
Fertress flipped through his spellbook in search of an incantation that would locate anything blue in color, while Manslaughter scanned the desert with the info glasses she'd borrowed from Keen, intent on finding anything containing kangaroo DNA.
G'day.
Manslaughter and Fertress yelped in surprise at the new voice. Turning, Jill found himself staring eye to eye with a female western gray kangaroo.
G'day?
I'm guessing you two are here about the baby blue kangaroo.
How did you know?
You're here.
Fair enough.
I'm Kangisu, the wee one's back at the den, come on.
So Manslaughter and Fertress set off after Kangisu, who had to stop every few paces to wait for her slower followers to catch up. In no time, they came to a second female kangaroo, sitting under a large shade tree.
I found him, Kangi Eugenia. They be wanting to see Hobart.
At the sound of his name, a small, blue, and fascinatingly adorable Joey poked its head out of Kangi Eugenia's pouch.
Well, there you go. Take good care of him.
Wait, what? We can't take him. We only have an exit visa for two.
And I'm sure not sticking around.
But I thought...
We only need three hairs from the tip of his tail.
Oh. Okay, but...
Something on your mind, lady?
Well, what are we supposed to do with a blue kangaroo?
Same as you always done. Anyways, thanks a mil. We have to get going. We're already way behind schedule.
With a final handshake, Fertress and Manslaughter stepped out of the Australian outback and back to Fertress's workshop. Fertress expertly added the unicorn saliva and the three blue hairs from the tail of a baby blue kangaroo to a mixture of lavender, soy protein, and chocolate.
Why the chocolate?
You like chocolate, don't you?
Well, yeah, but...
Then don't question!
Fertress finished mixing the concoction, which burst into purple flames before settling into a gelatin-like blue substance. Manslaughter eyed it warily, but prompted by a glare from Fertress, pinched his nose and gulped it down. He braced himself. Nothing happened.
It takes a few minutes to set her in. Come on, let's get back to your pack, people.
Slaughter once again grabbed Fertress's paw, and he whooshed them through space into the control chamber of Flashpoint.
Whoa, that was weird.
Drellis Thornfield dropped the four-ton barbell that she had been holding above her head with her right arm while catching up on a little light reading of the newest Flashpack comic book with her left. Luckily, she was using her anti-gravity protected barbell, the one that came with a lifetime guarantee against injury if dropped, including the payment of all funeral expenses should there be an accident.
Jill! You were supposed to report back here 16 hours ago. Where in the three universes of Praedon have you been, young lady? Man, wait, you're a girl again.
Nice to see you too, Drellis. Sorry,
Slaughter. We were just so worried about you and, oh gods, you brought the cat back with you.
That's cat man to you, miss. But you can call me Fertress.
Hey, guys.
She called, leaning on the intercom button.
Slaughter's back and she's a... girl!
You say it like it's going to get them here any faster.
Look, sweetie pie, we've got three priorities right now. Lunch, Von Wicked, and you.
Von Wicked again? Man, I thought we'd gotten rid of him in Toronto.
And now he's back. According to Jimmy, anyway.
The rest of the Flashpack came crashing into the control room.
I still can't believe I made out with her.
You made out with the Empress of Alter Earth?
How else was I supposed to get her to show
me? You
know
what, Jimmy? I'm really not in the mood to hear that part of the story again, okay?
The group stood in silence for a moment, Jimmy really wanting to relate the rest of his story again, and everyone else trying to decide on the most tactful way of approaching Slaughter's reinstated femaleness.
So, you're a girl again.
Yep, I'm enjoying it too. Sorry, Dallas.
And you brought the cat back.
It's Catman! Don't you humans listen? You know, with your ears?
Yes, I brought Fertris back. How can I not after... Sarah, honey, you look dreadful.
The pack turned around to see Sarah Keene leaning in the doorway. Her skin was white, her entire body shook, and her eyes were drooping even further than her normally vibrantly gravity-defying hair.
Sarah, I told you to stay in bed. As in, not get up.
I've read the dictionary too, Molly. And I miss Slaughter. And I thought if she told you all her adventurous tales now, that she'd forget to tell me later.
Oh, Keen, go back to bed. I promise I'll give you a private rendition of my fantastic exploits later, okay?
Keen shuffled back to her room and the rest of the flashpack settled into the control room chairs.
So after we left you guys, we made a beeline for the Australian Outback in 5976, where we talked
Australia?
What is wrong with you? You never, ever, 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 ever go to Australia in any time period. Ever. Even I know it's a time-restricted zone.
Chill. We got special dispensation from the Board of Trustees.
But what about the gaping hole in the ozone layer? You could have been fried or boiled, and there's convicts. What if you got infected?
Jimmy Kovacs. I'm sure Slaughter knew what he, or she, was facing and took every precaution. Besides, I didn't set up that sanitization field around Flashpoint just because I was bored.
Right. Boredom resulted in the program that tracks Professor Steloff's every move here.
Max, do you really want him rifling through my closet of explosive elements? Because I don't.
Hey guys, something about the explanation of why Slaughter left as a man and came back as a woman?
Right. So we got the special dispensation.
Slaughter spent the next 3 hours telling of their time in Australia, interrupted only twice, once to make lunch and once to throw together a makeshift litter box for Fertris. Once Slaughter had finished, Max had filled her in on their plan to corner Von Wicked in order to find out who was really masterminding the events of the past 6 months, and everybody headed back to their normal activities. Drylus pulled Slaughter aside.
So Jill, now that you're, well, a woman again, does that mean that we're...
I'm sorry, Drylus, that was a one-time thing and you knew it. Besides, we've both got our respective secret admirers, and I for one am interested in finding out who mine is.
Just as Drylus was preparing to press the issue, the voice of one Dr. Nictoria Steloff came blasting over the intercom.
Help! Flashback! Assistance! Aid! The Wicket is coming!
Confused and slightly agitated at their comrade's lack of restraint and his probable gullibility, the Flashback double-timed it to Steloff's chamber. The poor man sat at his computer console, shaking, sweating, and gibbering. Max turned on his leader voice and promptly asked the obligatory questions.
Professor Steloff, are you okay? What happened? What is a Wicket and where is it coming to?
With a trembling hand, Dr. Steloff hit the replay button on his vidmail screen. A face appeared and the Flashpack gasped.
Greetings, Professor Friend of the Breath Pack. How are you today? Comfortable? Well-fed? Living? I hope you have gotten over the loss of that darling girl scientist with enough grief left to spend on yourself. You tell those brats from me, Von Wicked is coming for you all!
The Flashpack stood in silence, taking in this most recent threat to their health and well-being.
Well, you gotta admit it's getting better.
The group turned to look at the Catman and saw Keen, once again, clinging to the doorframe, clutch her head and slump to the ground.
Sarah!
Yep, getting better all the time.
I'll go chase her tail, Flea Brain.
What? It's true! At least this time you know who you're up against, even if you don't know what you're up against.
Out!
With his tail held at an imperial angle, Fertris Fuzzbottom gave a disgruntled mew and vanished from the room.
Meow.
Did you really have to do that, Max? Sure, he was annoying, but he was a really big help with that potion. He can be really useful in a pinch.
Guys, now is not the time. Unless you want to bury someone else, of course.
The Flashpack burst into action. Drylus and Slaughter carried Keen to the infirmary, while Molly ran ahead to set up the appropriate diagnostic and life-saving equipment. Max made a few calls to the medical community, and finally, after fighting with 3 secretaries and 1 very disgruntled witch doctor, gave up Molly's ID number just to get some results. Those results being that Obadiah Quentin Health, MD, PhD, the best doctor of super medicine out there, was on his way to Flashpoint. Jimmy, meanwhile, had gone to the pack's recently acquired catship, Marvin 3, to prepare it for takeoff. 20 minutes later, the Flashpack left Keen in the capable hands of Dr. Health and were rocketing toward western Pennsylvania.
So, do we actually have a plan for when we land and Von Wicked is standing right outside of our ship?
Destroy him!
I think she wanted something just a teensy more specific than that, bro.
Well, whatever course of action we choose, I recommend we outline fast because that ground is getting awfully...
Ow! Molly, I thought you said you could fly this thing.
Yes, and I did. I never said I was an expert at landing a foreign ship. I'm still getting used to it. It's not easy to operate all hunched over.
The flashback climbed from their battered cat ship, assessing themselves for broken bones and the like.
We really need to work on not destroying ships.
Psh, this one's an easy fix. I just need to put together a Titus steel warping device and bend the sides back into shape. The engine itself seems to be in fine condition.
Molly trailed off as her gaze followed the shocked expression and pointing finger of Jimmy Kovacs.
Oops.
Yep, that's a good word for it.
Two tuxedo pants clad legs, ending in shiny black and white saddle shoes, poked out from under the Marvin III.
Ha 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 ha! Fooled you again, Flashpack! You thought you could finish me off with such clever ease, but alas! Here I stand, your greatest adversary!
You call that standing, huh?
Molly? What's that?
It looks like Von Wicket started to transport right as we landed on him and didn't do it fast enough.
Sure enough, 10 yards away on the grass stood the great Von Wicked, from the torso up. The tails of his tux jacket flapped on the ground behind him, which, combined with two bow ties, one of platinum, the other of green silk with a tiger print, and one long striped necktie, made the sight of the mad scientist more than a little hilarious.
I vote we shoot it.
Done.
Wow. I never thought getting rid of him would be that simple.
I bet you never thought of crash landing onto him either.
Shut up. Though I do wish you could have waited to shoot until after we asked him who was behind all this.
I thought we decided that Von Wicked was the mastermind.
Not quite, Jimbo. And Molly, total kudos on the Wizard of Oz effect.
Not quite. His shoes were mighty shiny, but they sure weren't red.
No, but that guy's got a killer hat.
Who has a killer hat? Can the wearer of said hat give the flashback any clues as to who has been out to get them all this time? Will Keen be okay? Find out the answers to these questions and more next week when this season of Epic Echoes concludes with Unmasked.